And I know this is, I say this without without knowing this is not a good thing, that I can be a bit of a worship snob. In fact, I've had a few arguments with people about this recently. I know that I'm guilty of rolling my eyes through songs which are very precious to a lot of people, but for me they're out of date and they're from my childhood, and examples of Shine Jesus Shine, which I know some people absolutely love, but for me it's one of those songs I was made to sing at school. And I recognise that, you know, for lots of people, worship is one of those things that it goes in fashion, out fashion. And I was really kind of struck by this the other week when something quite significant was happening up the front and Zach Barrett was running around singing Jubilate. And it just blessed me so much, you know, that really worship is what's happening inside. So Psalm 136, it's possibly the abiding worship song of all history, the one that every era of worship leader has brought out again and again. For example, Chris Tomlin, who wrote, "Give thanks to the Lord our God and King, his love endures forever." Obviously, he wasn't writing anything new. But also the hymn, "Let Us With Gladsome Mind," was also based on this psalm. So this hymn of praise has been sung literally throughout the ages. And I know that you've been looking at it for a good few weeks, and I've managed to come to some of those. So I know you've seen that it was first used in 1 Chronicles 16 when David and his worship leaders celebrated the ark returning to Israel. And that's a strong argument for David possibly writing this psalm. It's one of those that there are some arguments about. But I like the fact that one of the first times we see it in the Bible, it was David instructing his worship leaders. So we certainly know that it started then. And this phrase continues to appear throughout lots and lots of major events that Martin has mapped out on his plan for the sermons in the evenings. We've seen the dedication of the new temple, the battlefield of Jehoshaphat, the restoration of the temple in Ezra. And again, as the worship leaders did what Matt's done today and chose the song list, we know that this psalm and the refrain from it was at the top of their list. And so today, this refrain, this chorus, is given full explanation and it's sung with all its verses. So just to recap, in Jewish, the phrase, "his love endures forever," is made up of six Hebrew syllables, literally translated, "for his love has no end." For his love has no end. And it's this psalm is given the name the Great Hallel, the Great Psalm of Praise. It comes with lots of other psalms of praise, and this is like the main one. It was probably sung in a variety of ways, and as we couldn't help tonight, obviously this call and response and a chance for us to join in and echo that, we just can't help but do it, and that was probably how it was sung originally. So I want to use the rest of the time tonight to focus on this psalm and to look at two main things: to explore the psalm and then apply it to our lives. So I'm just going to ask Matt if he'll put, I've just got one slide. There's two ways which you can look at splitting this psalm up into sections to understand it. Two main commentaries that I really liked. And if you could look at the middle column, the "then," this is a kind of more traditional, focused on the psalm way that I've seen. So if you were kind of marking it in your Bible, you would split verses 1 to 3 as a praise of the triune God, praise of our Lord. Verses 4 to 9, you've got the theme of creation and God as creator. 10 to 15 is the journey through the wilderness, leading into the entrance into Canaan, 16 to 22. 23 to 24, you've got gratitude for God's mercy, the celebration of his provision, and then this end of never-ending praise is how the psalm wants us to finish. So God's never-ending love and mercy is painted in continually as a layer into the whole of Israel's history. As Israel's history is recounted, the love of God is painted in. From creation, through each of the historical accounts, all the way to what was then present-day victories. As history is remembered, the mercy and love of God is celebrated. But the Bible wasn't just written as a history book, as we know. And this psalm isn't just a history text. It's a family story. The author possibly David, is recounting Israel's family tree in the light of the provision of God. He's remembering stories told, if it was David, by his grandfathers, but stories told by the patriarchs for 14 generations, from Abraham, remember those stories? The stories of Isaac, we know about Jacob. Remember, Boaz is in there, and Boaz and Ruth and Obed, and now Jesse and Jesse's son David. It's like the author's saying to the family of Israel, do you remember how we learnt that God made the world from nothing? He was there at the beginning of time. Well, at that point, his love lasted forever. Do you remember the stories we recount every year at Passover? The plagues, the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army. Well, God, our God, he was there. And his love was still then and now lasting forever. And what about the battles? The fearful, scary enemies we've so recently faced. Well, God was there. His love was enduring forever. We are retold the whole story of David's family, the story of the children of Israel. But this time, we're not just remembering the events. We're reminded that the main player, the architect of history, was not only there, he was doing great wonders. He was making the heavens with his understanding. He was delivering his people with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. It might have been a scary and a checkered past, but it was a past that was covered with the enduring, existing, continuing, persisting forever love of God. How often do we let powerful worship songs about our God and to our God remind us of his existence throughout our lives? On the one hand, so simple, but on the other, so indescribably powerful, power at its strongest and its most unbreakable. So how does that affect us? Well, on one level, there's the obvious mirror. I've just said it. The love and mercy of God, continually interspersed, present in every part of our lives. But in reality, in real life, it's so powerful. The love and mercy of the good, freeing, enduring God in every memory. So I mentioned two breakdowns. If I could ask you to look at the second one now. This is another way of looking at the structure in a slightly different light. It was put forward by a man named Derek Kidner, who was one of the commentaries that I read. And he suggests a way of looking at these verses that shows parallels with the most obvious example to date of the enduring love of God. The time where God most obviously and physically entered human history and directed and changed it with his love. So verses 1 to 3, we look at God as the God of gods and reminded that he's creator. But then verses 10 to 15, we could look at in light of God being our rescuer. Verses 16 to 22, that he is victor. 23 and 24, friend in need, reminded of his provision, and then that he is God of heaven. We can see again that as well as a historical story, the family history of the people of Israel is a powerful prophecy. It reminds us of the love of God, first before all gods and true creator. He rescued us, not from the slavery of Pharaoh, but from the slavery of sin. His love endures forever. He was victorious, not just in the battles of the Old Testament, but over sin and death. Through his death on the cross and resurrection, his love endures forever. He has continued to be friend in need to every early Christian facing the lions, every Christian martyr, every one of us. His love endures forever. We need not fear death. His love endures forever. I did not intend, I got to this point in my preparation and I did not intend to make this a talk about suffering. I've tried really hard, as I've been planning and preparing, to not talk about things which I feel unqualified to talk, but I feel like God put this on my heart. I am so aware that as we look back through our own histories in every level of our lives, our world's history, our society, community, family, and our own lives, we are so aware that although, yes, God's love does endure forever, there is so much pain. So many times where that love has been perhaps veiled, harder to see. The memories are bittersweet. I don't want to give glib and trite platitudes. I can't do that. But the history recounted in Psalm 136 is not all sweetness and light either. As you look through that history in Psalm 136, what about the death of the slave driver killed by Moses? What about the suffering of the Egyptian people made to be slaves without the resources that they needed to do it? What about the pain and the punishment of the wilderness? What about the anger of Moses at the golden calf and the judgment? We heard about the judgment this morning. What about the continual cycle of sin and moaning shown by the Israelites? Where was the enduring love of God as David was forced to hide from Saul and as the people prepared for battle? What about in the exile? Where was the enduring love of God then? The only answer I have is in the psalm, his love endures forever. And when this phrase is used by Jehoshaphat, and I'm sure you looked at this a few weeks ago, we're given one of my favourite verses in the Bible, which I call my Sunday evening verse, for that Sunday evening feeling. It's 2 Chronicles 20:17. Just to remind you, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. The people's response after this battle, which you will remember was won with a miraculous victory, was verse 1 of Psalm 136. After that battle, that tomorrow, when they woke up and they went to that battle and they saw God's provision, their response was, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." This psalm, this amazing, historical, powerful worship song, gives us this model. The question is asked, do you remember when life was hard, when things didn't make sense? God's love was still there and it lasts forever. Do you remember when we felt like this before, when we were scared and when we couldn't go on? God's love was there then, and his love, which casts out all fear, lasts forever. I think, and I just want to end with this, Paul sums it up best in a quote from Ephesians 3, which I have used lots of times, but I love it. And it says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." So this is my prayer as we finish, inspired by this psalm, and I really encourage you to pray it with me. Father, as life continues to play out in all its unexpected ways, we pray that we will be able to remember the amazing ways that you have shown your love to us in the past. We thank you so much that we can be sure that your love will last forever. Help us to continue to look for your love and mercy in every situation and circumstance, through every step of our journey. We give thanks to you, the God of heaven, our only hope. Your love endures forever. Amen.